Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee of Prevent Connect, and today I am speaking with two project coordinators from the Indiana Campus Sexual Assault Primary Prevention Project, Catherine Beavis and Emily Haas. How are you doing, Catherine and Emily?
Great. We're doing good.
So glad to have you join me today because I'm really excited to learn more about the work that you've been doing with campuses throughout Indiana, and your project has been providing training and technical assistance to campuses throughout the state of Indiana around trying to strengthen their primary prevention efforts on campuses. There's a lot of great work you're doing. I want to focus just on two elements of the work that you're doing. First, start with the bystander work that Catherine, you've been working on. Can you first start by describing what a bystander approach is?
Using a bystander intervention approach on campuses has actually been becoming pretty popular in the past several years, and it's something that we've adopted as one of our core components. And the purpose of this bystander approach is to get students to intervene in situations that would necessitate some kind of help or intervention. So that would involve learning to change attitudes, recognizing risk factors, and then actually building skills on how to intervene. That's really, I think, a brief summary of what the bystander approach is.
Why do you think it's advantageous to use a bystander approach?
The bystander approach really fits, I think, with the idea of primary prevention, stepping back from what might be happening or afterwards and looking on how we can either prevent those situations and also looking at how attitudes can be changed. That's really why it's important to us, and part of the bystander intervention approach is, like I said, learning the knowledge that's out there and also changing attitudes. And I think when you're changing attitudes about something, that also will affect the person who's intervening and their beliefs about these issues.
What I find is so important about a bystander approach is that it's a community-oriented response. So instead of looking at the individual and saying, oh, just the individuals who are affected directly by sexual violence, those who've been abused or potentially abused or even those who abuse, it's calling on everyone in the community to be able to take some action. And that really then creates an important foundation for looking at how we can change the college community so we are not accepting and tolerating sexual assault.
About emphasizing that everyone can have a role in this prevention work.
When you're working with a college campus to be able to develop a bystander program, what are the different components of a bystander prevention program?
Some of the basic, I guess, theory around bystander effect, which was first researched around in the 1960s, and that was by Darley and Lacknay, and they reported on their situational model, and that model describes the steps a person goes through in the decision to intervene and also the barriers that occur along the way. So educating them along those steps, what can occur that would prevent a person from intervening and how to overcome barriers. We also encourage campuses to use videos throughout their trainings just to help students stay engaged. The first thing that we really emphasize is skill building during a training, helping students practice those skills. Skill building activities can come in the form of just discussion, watching video examples, and I think most importantly, role-playing, so that actual practice of those behaviors.
Sounds like what you're doing is helping people develop training programs as they're being able to really promote how people can do bystander work. And how would they select the people that would be going to these workshops?
We typically encourage them to target already existing groups, like fraternities, sororities, athletes. A lot of our campuses have also done things with residence halls. Being able to contact an intact group can be really effective. So that's typically how most of our campuses have done it. A lot of people have done it in their freshman orientation.
Emily, you've been working on a different area and developing social marketing campaigns around sexual violence prevention on a wide variety of campuses throughout Indiana. So, Emily, can you talk a little bit about the process that you've done to be able to create these programs?
First of all, in social marketing, we're using marketing principles not to sell something, but to influence human behavior and benefit society. So really influencing students to change behaviors on campus in order to have a stronger and healthier campus community to prevent violence. In order to go through the social marketing process, I use the Health Communication Campaign Framework, which is a model that goes by social marketing but incorporates elements of communication theory, and that was developed by a couple of communication professors, Mary Fran Matson and Ambar Basu. And so going through that model, I've been able to guide around 25 campuses in developing their own tailored health messages on their campus. And so it's a pretty lengthy process, but if we want to go through kind of one campus or one poster, I can describe it a little bit more in depth for you.
I would love to. To me, the process of creating social marketing is a really important one for prevention practitioners because it's about understanding what our intended behavior is, who our the primary audience is, and then really having a good analysis of what will it take to have that audience see the perceived benefits of adopting that behavior and overcoming the barriers. So that process is a really important one, and it's great to see that you spend the time for everyone to not do one campaign fits all, but one that you tailor for each campus.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's definitely been very successful at each campus to have a message that was informed and created by the students. So they see it, and they say, you know what, I was in a focus group, and I got to give feedback on this message or this image, and wow, like this campus really listens to what I have to say. And so the message really shows the culture on campus and really gets at some of those problems that are in the community and tries to change that attitude.
Well, great. Well, let's take an example of some of the work that you did at Purdue. And we have a poster that you can see on their website. We also have this on the Prevent Connect website. And it's a poster that says, "Flirting is not consent. Ask everyone every time." So can you talk about sort of how you created this poster?
Absolutely. So our sexual health educator, Katie Wilkinson, applied for the INGSAP grant. And so I worked with her and her coalition through the process in developing this campaign. So the coalition came together and really looked at the existing data on campus that had to do with sexual assault. So how many reports were students, going to the police with, how many really kind of informal reports were we hearing about, and really informal conversations and focus groups with students to really ask what is contributing to sexual assault on campus. And really we discovered that the lack of consent was the main contributing factor. So students either not knowing what consent is, or they're just too embarrassed to ask for consent. They don't want to talk about it. And so really just this whole issue surrounding consent was really contributing to students just, you know, really committing an assault and maybe not even meaning to on campus. So we really took that problem and ran with it. And that was really the first major step that we had to accomplish, figuring out, what do we address in these messages? And so taking that problem, the group drafted probably about 15 messages that had to do with asking for consent and really the issues that are involved with that. And then those messages were tested in several rounds of focus groups. And based on all the feedback, there were some messages that the coalition really liked. You know, we had some cool kind of plays off of the GPS system. You don't want to get lost, ask for consent. And the students really laughed at that. So really, being able to take their feedback seriously and, going with, what they thought was realistic and doable. And so we got their feedback on draft messages and images, revised the messages, tested them again, and then put images and messages together and, really finally came up with one consistent message that you just read, the flirting is not consent, ask everyone every time. And then we have three images to go with that message. First of all, students really liked the succinctness of this message, and they were really saying in focus groups that flirting is an issue. So you could go to a bar and be flirting with someone, and the other person, whether it's a man or a woman, could really take that the wrong way and think that you're going to be going home tonight and have sex when really that's not the case. And so really educating students that consent is necessary before engaging in not just sex, but just a kiss or any physical activity. And then the three images that we picked were also based on student feedback and really tailored to the campus culture at Purdue. So we have a Caucasian couple in a bar. So students really said that alcohol was needed in one picture because alcohol is often involved in sexual assaults on campus. But we also have an African-American couple and a homosexual couple. So we were really able to disseminate these messages on campus then to really target different groups of students. So we sent the image with the African-American couple to our African-American fraternities and sororities, and the homosexual couple to our homosexual sorority, and then the bar couple to the bars on the surrounding campus community. So really thinking about where is this message going and is it appropriate. So, for example, we didn't send the image of the bar couple to our residence halls because they're under 21 and not supposed to be drinking. So really thinking and targeting the students, not just looking at them as one huge population, but trying to segment them down.
In the marketing business, they talk about segmenting the audience all the time. And I think that sometimes mistake that we often make is we try to come up with something that works for everyone. Things don't work for everyone. They work for no one. So you develop the materials, but social marketing is not just a communications channel. It also involves how you're going to be able to work on contributing to changing behavior. So how do you see these posters fitting into being able to change behavior?
We do evaluate the message effectiveness after the message has been on campus for a few months. We do ask our campuses to evaluate the campaign. I provide them with the tools to do that, so I'll give them surveys to use or focus group protocols with specific questions on how to evaluate the message, but we want to make sure that students are still understanding the message. We literally ask them, is this message changing your behavior? Are you talking about this message? Did it change your friend's behavior? And we're getting an idea as far as, is this working on their campus? So is this really solving a problem? And then again, going through that correction loop the following year and looking at that same problem. So is consent still a problem? Does this message still need to be here, or do we need to talk about it more? And then also trying to integrate that message with other areas on campus. So getting it out in Take Back the Night event, or even at a bystander intervention training, showing the message there. Really infiltrating that message when you're talking about sexual violence or other issues on campus is another way to really get it in students' heads and really think about the behavior choices that they're making.
This campaign, you actually are going to be having an article published in the next year sharing some of the results of your evaluation.
Purdue's social marketing campaign actually is impressed right now as a social marketing campaign that did use theory and evaluation, and that's impressed in cases in public health communication and marketing right now. So if people are interested in learning more about the full process of how this campaign was developed, they can read that article, and really it goes step by step and how we went through the campaign framework, and hopefully they can take that information and use it on their campus to create their own targeted campaign.
Thank you both. I really appreciate learning all about the work that you've been doing in Indiana, and it's really great to do this, and I look forward to seeing the article that will be published soon and learning more about the bystander work that you've been doing in Indiana. So thank you, Catherine, and thank you, Emily, for joining me today.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.